Here is Norman Vincent Peale with a guidepost for Christmas.
Children rarely miss anything on Christmas, but adults sometimes do. Here's a story from Guidepost magazine about a man who missed one Christmas entirely. His name is George Mason. It was Christmas Eve, but as usual, George was the last to leave his office. He walked over to a massive safe, spun the dial, swung the heavy door open. Making sure the door would not close behind him, he stepped inside. Exactly 1 year ago, he had entered this selfsame vault, and then behind his back, the ponderous door swung shut. He was trapped, entombed in the sudden and terrifying dark. Through his mind flashed all the stories he had ever heard of men found suffocated in time vaults. No time clock controlled this mechanism. The safe would remain locked until it was opened from the outside at 9 tomorrow morning. Then the realization hit him. No one would come tomorrow. Tomorrow was Christmas. He flung himself at the door, shouting wildly until he sank on his knees, exhausted. More than 36 hours would pass before anyone came. 36 hours in a steel box, 3 feet wide, 8 feet long, 7 feet high. Would the oxygen last? Perspiring and breathing heavily, he felt his way around the floor. Then, in the far right-hand corner, just above the floor, he found a small circular opening. Quickly, he thrust his finger into it and felt, faint but unmistakable, a cool current of air. Yet surely he would not have to stay trapped for the full 36 hours. Somebody would miss him. But who? He was unmarried and lived alone. He'd been invited to spend Christmas Eve with his brother's family, but children got on his nerves and expected presents, so he declined. He had intended to sit at home with a good cigar, listening to some new recordings that he was giving to himself. George Mason dug his nails into the palms of his hands until the pain balanced the misery in his mind. Nobody would come and let him out. Nobody. Nobody. Miserably, the whole of Christmas Day went by, and the succeeding night. On the morning after Christmas, the head clerk came into the office at the usual time, opened the safe, then went on into his private office. No one saw George stagger out into the corridor. No one paid any attention to him as he left and took a taxi home. There he shaved, changed his wrinkled clothes, ate breakfast, and returned to his office. His employees greeted him casually. That day he met several acquaintances and talked to his own brother. Grimly, inexorably, the truth closed in on George Mason. He had actually vanished from human society during the great Festival of Brotherhood, and no one had missed him at all. Reluctantly, Mason began to think about the true meaning of Christmas. All through the year that followed, with little hesitant deeds of kindness, with small unnoticed acts of unselfishness, George Mason tried to prepare himself. And now, once more, it was Christmas Eve. Slowly, he backed out of the safe, closed it. He touched its grim steel face lightly, indeed, almost affectionately, and left the office. There he goes now in his black overcoat and hat, the same George Mason as a year ago. Or is it? He walks a few blocks, then flags a taxi, anxious not to be late. His nephews are expecting him to help them trim the tree. Why is he so happy? Why does this jostling against others, laden as he is with bundles, exhilarate and delight him? Perhaps the card has something to do with it. The card he taped inside his office safe last New Year's Day. On the card is written in George Mason's own hand these words: "To love people, to be needed somewhere, that is the purpose of life. That is the real secret of happiness."